Welcome into another episode of Spiritual Philosophy Chatter with the Joneses. I'm Danny Jones.
And I am Samantha Jones.
And this is episode 237.
237.
What is our topic today?
This is optimism in a pessimist's world.
I fall in that category often.
Which one?
Unfortunately. I think that says it all.
Don't think I need to say it.
I know. All right. Well, before we talk about that, anything you want to talk about from last week?
Yeah, last week we did the struggle of healing, and Chelsea said this. She said, I really enjoyed your podcast. I loved learning more about Danny's early life. I love the depth of the conversation and the topic. Also, I still didn't realize you can tell the universe what you want, because I'm so indoctrinated, there we go,
yeah,
in the AA program, attending since I was 10 with my father, then for myself. We were taught that our life is unmanageable by us and that our best thinking got us into trouble. But I feel liberated when I hear a different perspective. I recognize I do not have to choose one or the other. Thank you. You are the only podcast I listen to, but I think I picked the right one.
That's cool. Who is this again?
Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you, Chelsea. But I think in some contexts that's, you know, true, you know, for that environment, that, you know, addiction can get us, you know, into our own worst nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think there, you know, I do agree with some level of the time I spent around those things in my life later on. I felt like I was around a lot of people that were very smart and great at what they were doing at certain things, but I didn't see a lot of drive.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of kind of like we're doomed with this,
right,
this thing in our life. And so because that, we just go to meetings and kind of survive, and nobody was really pushing themselves. I think I felt like besides sobriety or program or anything like that, what about your other life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you doing what you love? Are you chasing your passion?
Gotcha,
are you being creative or whatever, you know?
So, yep.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got going on that. Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you, Chelsea. Nancy had sent me a question that I said, I'm going to ask this on the show. I'm going to read it and we can talk about it. She said, what does it mean when you get the chills? I never got them that often except when I had a fever. For the last 2 days, I've been getting them 2 to 3 times a day for the last couple days. I was watching a movie and something traumatic happened. I don't watch TV very often, so I'm not exactly immune, but I do occasionally watch movies and don't get the chills. The other time, I glanced up at my Alexa and saw the time and got the chills because it was 11:11, but I get that all the time throughout the day.
So you're talking about like the hair standing up on your arms feeling,
Like, the, you know, that chill feeling.
Maybe your mind's getting blown and this is the physical reaction of that. I don't know.
I definitely have moments where I will feel something that brings me super connected to the other side.
Oh, yeah.
And then I feel that music is the number one thing that can do that for me. It's full body chills.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I hear something that might be like, it hits a nerve or it strikes home, that I feel that. The other chills that you're talking about, like watching a scary movie, I get that kind of stuff like when I see things that are like gross. You know, I'm like, bleh, bleh, and get the weird chills, weird body chills.
Like the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, the heebie-jeebies kind of. Yeah. So I'm not sure if that's a little bit of what you're talking about, but
I think it's a good thing in the context you're putting it in, except if you're watching like a scary movie, like, I don't know, like you're super sensitive.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, but I can get easily like watch a show and go from laughing hysterically to I'm in tears over this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I can get lost. And we watched a movie for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
The other night. Normally we just watch like shows, but don't really watch even that much TV, period.
Yeah.
But we actually watched a movie and I was like, wow, we did that. Like a whole movie. That's impressive.
Yeah.
And just the whole getting lost in it. I got lost in it for a while. Mm-hmm. It was cool. Not the greatest movie, but it was cool.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I get chills from a lot of different things, but I have noticed that, like, if I can bring them on myself, if I really let myself get deep into the music, especially, it can happen really quick. Me too. Yes. That's how I know that I'm really connected, when I feel like that, when I feel so connected to the universe. But I definitely think that it has a lot to do with that connection. I don't necessarily think it's trying to tell us one thing in particular or whatever. It's just our body's reaction to the energy around us is kind of what I feel.
Yeah.
So. Or a fever.
What?
Or a fever.
Or a fever. But I mean, if you're not ill.
Right. Then, exactly.
You know, I mean, I love that feeling of, you know, when you get into a warm car.
Yeah.
And the sun's like beating on you and he's like, ooh, you get those chills. Yeah. Of, like, those are warming up. It's similar to that, but there's nothing emotionally connected in those moments.
Right.
When you're listening to a song or seeing, for me, I can look at nature and get that. I can totally be like just awestruck by certain images in nature. So
yeah, there's different kinds of chills too. Now that I think about it, because like I get the chills if I look down from a high place. Like no, like that's a different kind of chill.
That's a wobbly chill.
Kind of. It is. That's I just know. Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
No.
So I hope that answered your question. We did as best we could with that one, but
yeah, I don't think it's bad unless, like you said, you have a sickness. I don't. Yeah. Think, which it doesn't sound like it.
No, so. I don't think so. Yeah. So
be grateful.
Yeah, for sure. So that's all I have from last week.
Cool. All right.
So let's give our info.
Let's do it.
All right. So you can find me at SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com. I have an Etsy shop that you can find under Beyond the Bridge 11. Every Monday now, I have a TV show called Beyond the Bridge. It airs on Bold Brave TV, which you can find on all kinds of places. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, X Live. If you have a Roku TV, it goes on and on and on. Why is this all so confusing? Seriously, it's with the radio show, it was confusing too, because that was hard to find for a lot of people. And that's the same problem I'm having here is people are like, I don't know where to find it. And like, but I put the links on my pages.
It's very helpful. Continue to do that.
Yes,
it'll be helpful.
Yeah, I will. So this coming week, my guest is going to be Melly. She is the host of Tea with Intuitives, and I was on that podcast a while back.
Cool.
And she does Akashic Records and stuff with spirit guides and things like that. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Stuff we don't talk about in the office.
I know. So I like the Akashic Records. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. So,
cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
And then you, sir.
For my art, djonesartcollection.com. For the web, at djonesartcollection. For Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we did offer up that last week. My piece is probably still about a week away from being finished and shown. But if there's anybody that would like to test their intuitive abilities and guessing or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
What this subject matter, who is the subject matter?
Yeah.
Of this piece. And you'll get a free print. Whether you like this subject matter or not, or something else in my collection, you're welcome to.
Yeah.
And we'll like do like 11, up to 11 by 14 or something. You don't have to have that big, but whatever, if you want.
Cool. I'll put it up too as a written post in the group, because a lot of times people listen back to the episodes and they might not be caught up to hear. So I'll do it in there too, so everybody has a chance.
Well, there's still a little bit of time.
There's time. Yeah.
I mean, I said a week, but it could be a couple of weeks. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I know, but we have some listeners that are like months behind and they're like trying to catch up. So,
okay.
So then everybody gets a chance.
So, and then for my photography for Instagram is at DJones71 photography, and my Etsy shop is DJonesPhotography71.
Fabulous.
Cool. And that's all I got.
Great.
All right. Episode 237, Optimism in a Pessimist's World.
So, you know, I like to tell the story about how we come up with these topics.
Yes.
So I have to tell the story about how this one came up.
Uh-oh.
Well, that was a few nights back or so. You were just going, dude. You were just like negative, 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 negative. And I looked at you and I went, I have an idea for this week's topic. Actually, it came from another place, too, was that there was a girl I did a reading for, and her boyfriend is super ultra positive, and she doesn't know how to be that
way.
That's great. So she's like, do you have any, like, podcast episodes for him that might help him? And I was like...
To be a little more negative?
Right?
You should try being a little more negative.
Yeah. Right? No, that's the kind of world I feel like I live in, because I definitely feel like I'm an optimist in a pessimist world.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely the way I feel, that the pessimists are always like, come here, come to the dark side.
I can do it here. Sometimes, for sure. Yeah, there's no lie there.
Well, first, let's give the definition of what both of these things are, okay? An optimist is someone who tends to have a positive outlook, expecting favorable outcomes. A pessimist, on the other hand, tends to anticipate negative results and views situations with a more skeptical perspective.
Right.
Pretty simple explanation.
It's like that, you know, saying as old as time, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full?
Right. I think that for everybody, we have times in our lives where we're...
Looking at it differently.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think I live a life of that, per se, like one way or the other. But I can definitely get trapped in the negative. once you start feeding it, it's easier to stay there. I don't know why, because it's interesting when you think about it, that negativity and misery is sad. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, it should be.
Company.
Right. It should be. But at the same time, it's safe.
Yeah.
Because you know the outcome.
Right.
Right? You know that if you feed into this, you're going to pretty much feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, and you look at the optimistic side of whatever it is, you're faced with it not going the optimistic way.
Absolutely.
So that feels unsafe.
Sure.
And in a kind of a crazy psychological way, it feels unsafe for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So they would rather not take the chance.
Right. I understand that.
Of being optimistic of like, this is going to work out.
Right.
This is going to work out great. And you know what? I've done this in my life a million times, that thinking there's no way this is going to work out.
Right. It goes.
And it works out.
It does. And it, but it also goes far beyond that. And I was thinking about this morning in the shower, like the roller coaster ride that has been my life with being an optimist and a pessimist, because I have been on both sides.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I always do research and go through things. And one of the things, of course, they talk about is childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I was looking at my childhood. My mom was a pretty optimistic person for the most part. My grandmother, though, could suck the fun out of absolutely everything.
Right.
Like, you could come to her with the most positive thing, and she would immediately find the negatives in it. And it's like, fuck's sake.
You know? Like, unfortunately, seriously. I grew up around a lot more pessimists than I did optimists.
Yeah.
The optimists were what would be revered in my sort of circle or families, would be kind of the clown, the daydreamer, you know?
Yeah.
The, like, unreliable, doesn't get it done kind of thing. That's the type of the feeling I got. Like, if you were being optimist, overly optimistic, you had your head in the clouds.
Yes, and a lot of people do believe that.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that I have in my notes, is about there has to be balance. Like, even with being an optimist, there has to be logic
and reason also within what it is, you know, especially if we're talking about optimism in a manifestation sense.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Well, we have to be realistic and logical about what it is we're trying to manifest.
Right.
And then being optimistic about the fruition will come too, you know. And if it doesn't, does that make it worth it to not be optimistic? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I have to get deeper into that in order to face my negativity, I guess, in a way.
Yes, absolutely. So in my notes, I have this balancing act of optimism and pessimism. Striking a balance between optimism and pessimism is crucial for a well-rounded perspective. While optimism fosters hope and resilience, pessimism provides a realistic assessment of potential challenges. I really try and do both when I'm faced with anything, that looking at the fact that for the most part, things have worked out in my life, especially the things that were meant for me have worked out.
Right.
That's where I think we get pessimistic a lot of times, is when things aren't working out, but you have to look at them. Why didn't they work out? Was right. that not meant for you?
That's
or whatever?
What I mean. When right. So when we're coming into being optimistic about something we want or would like, and it doesn't happen.
Right.
You know,
there's a letdown.
Is it not worth it to be optimistic and to face those days happily?
Right.
As opposed to staying in this safe area, which is, but it's not a happy area.
Right.
But you know the outcome is going to be the same every time.
It will be the same. It will. Well,
right.
But you
with
have
optimism, that's not the case.
Right.
Because when you hope and you dream, things happen.
Yes. Absolutely, they do. The law of attraction brings those things to you. And if you're negative all the time, it pushes them away. I do look back at my life and I see the roller coaster mm-hmm. and the times that I was the most pessimistic and what it brought to me. And it just brought me more negativity. And going through the spiritual awakening and doing the work that I do, I have to be a light. I can't be negative Nancy. I just can't. I have to try and help people raise their vibration.
Yeah.
But I feel a lot of days under attack from all angles of negativity and pessimism trying to take me down. It's literally like I have to work to keep myself at a level
right.
because the world around me is so negative. That's one reason that I don't watch the news at all. I wrote a blog post on this last week about is the news rotting your brain. Because that is so negative, and all it does is bring us down.
Right.
It's just, it's a vibration killer.
I don't watch it at all.
No, we don't even have regular TV because we don't watch that much TV.
Often I'll hear like from you or somebody else, did you hear what was going on? I'm like, what?
Yeah. What? Yeah, exactly. I see it on TikTok. That's where I get my news.
Yeah, you will see it on there too, but.
Yeah.
No, it just, it's a, and. Does that mean that the world is a pessimistic place? Is it scary? Is it bad? No. That's what the images we're seeing.
Right.
That's part of what's going on.
Right.
But the problem is why society doesn't eat up all the wonderful, you know?
Yeah.
And good news as much as we want to eat up the pessimistic.
Right. It's funny because I did some polls like I always do in the group. And I know our listeners that are more positive and negative because I interact with a lot of them. And so I see it. And so there's a few that I knew were going to be more on the pessimistic side. And it's so I put up one poll that was, are you more often an optimist or a pessimist? And nobody said pessimist. The only people that went for it were the ones that are optimistic. The pessimist totally skipped over that question. Like, no, I'm not answering that. But under that one, Julie said, I think you can be an optimist or a pessimist depending on what might be going on in your life at any given moment.
Yes, I agree.
Yes. I suppose the goal would be to stay optimistic even through the worst of times.
Right.
That can be easier said than done depending on how extensive the issue might be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful goal to strive for, and through a reading I had with you last month, I was told in no uncertain terms, have gratitude for even the hard times.
Right.
It's a tall order, but one in which I've come to terms with.
And, you know, part of me, because pessimistic outlook will usher in logic and reason a lot of the time for me.
Yeah.
It's all scenario. And it doesn't ever usually happen the way I scenario it in my head.
Yeah.
But that's part of what logic and reason does. Like, okay, before I get too excited about this, let me think about what could possibly happen, what could go right, and what could go wrong.
Right.
So, but by doing this, I realize that this is part of an experience.
Yes.
Again. And that so I'm embracing something. It's kind of like downtown San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to
I guess.
Live there,
no
right?
offense.
So I'll visit the pessimistic area sometimes.
Yeah.
And then finally go, I'm going.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to walk out of that room and I'm going to walk into the other room.
Yeah.
And look at all the pretty stuff, you know, and things and wonderment. And that brings on gratitude and, you know, all the beauty that I do see in the world. not what's being shared with me by, I hate to say this, by fellow man.
Right.
You know, it's like, why can't we eat up all the good, the positive.
Right.
And hear about those kind of things more and share that in the world.
Yes.
I'm not saying turn your back on reality and what's happening.
Not at all. Yeah. No.
If you're going to talk about global things and politics and all that. No.
No, I think that there's a balance, like we were talking about. Like, here's an example. So when I was a teenager, I went to Mexico with my aunt for spring break. Okay. And I remember going and telling my grandma that we were going.
Huh.
And I was so excited. I've never been on a cruise. I've never been to Mexico. I barely went anywhere. So I was on the top of the world, right? Tell her that we're going to Mexico. And she says, oh, don't drink the water and stay away from people there. Like, it's immediate. Boom. And it's like...
But what about an experience?
Can't you just say, wow, that's so cool. Right. That's so exciting. And but it's okay to address your concerns. But let's talk about how fun and exciting it's going to be first.
Right.
And then be real about it. Like, especially if, you know, it's like a month out as the trip. Okay, maybe just enjoy the excitement of it right now.
Yeah.
And as we're getting closer, deal with the realism of the things there.
Oh, hey, sweetie, by the way, I meant to tell you, try to refrain or not try. Make sure not to drink the water, like buy bottled water, because they don't filter and clean it and you'll get sick.
And you know what? That was a logical one. But most of the things that my grandmother came up with was not logical.
No, it was terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. Yeah, for sure. Thankfully, my mom was a little bit more balanced in that area. She had her things, but she was definitely more balanced. But I did pick up a lot of the negative stuff. And I remember being a sophomore in high school, and I started at a new school. And this one girl I started hanging out with all the time, and she eventually told me, I can't hang out with you because you're too negative.
Right.
And it's like, ooh, ouch, you know? But you don't see it. Like, I didn't see it then. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm too negative. Like, and then I realized the relationship I was in the time was dragging me down. Like, that was just bringing me down all the time, you know? Yeah. And then you realize what's going on. But when you're in the middle of it, you don't usually see it, and you can be stuck in that place of like, I'm not negative. I'm just living my life.
Yeah.
No, but people around you, especially if they are positive, they don't want to deal with it. Like, that's honestly kind of where I am in my life, is like, I just don't have the energy for the negativity.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, especially with my job.
I think growing up for me, because my parents were, excuse me, divorced, that my mom was more of a worrywart pessimist. But allowed me to be me.
Right.
I was more free. I was not policed as much. And then the years I spent with my father, he was more optimistic in some ways. In some ways. I mean, they both had their moments.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It was more policing, I guess, of like, what are you doing? Where are you going? What, you know, kind of thing. But I got both of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I just, parts of me through trauma and stuff latched on to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or watching other people that I knew grow up or growing up that I knew closely going through things. And then, you know, it's like you don't realize how much you're absorbing that.
Yeah.
And how much that you have to face that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Now, some people might get up every day and be like, what a glorious, wonderful, you know, day, and then other people get up and go, what fresh hell awaits? Yeah,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
And then there's a balance of that, both, too.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I feel that way, one way, getting up in the morning around the family, but then work is a different feeling.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Here's the thing about being optimistic, is that sometimes you have to make yourself be optimistic.
Yes, you do.
Some mornings, I will be honest, I wake up and I do go, what fresh hell is today going to bring? And then I go, stop it, snap out of it.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the only way to not do it is to tell myself, you can't act like that. You can't think like that. And I can do a pretty good job, unless I'm like really down. I can do a pretty good job most mornings to be like, okay, I'm right. My higher self, I can hear you. I'm right. I can't act like
this. That's exactly what when you said my higher self, is what I was hearing. It was like, you're talking to yourself.
Absolutely.
From there, you're telling yourself, come on.
Yeah, knock it off.
You're spending eternity in a place that's wonderful. You know how we really should act towards one another, how we should really feel about ourselves.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
So, but why? Then why do we agree to come to this place to challenge ourselves just to be hearing this conversation? Maybe that's so we realize we're never alone.
Right.
Is that we're hearing this conversation.
Yeah.
That's with nobody but our higher self telling us,
right,
come on, pull yourself out of this.
Right.
You know, like today, are you going to be proud of what you're doing, what you're about?
Right.
And are you going to be optimistic and hopeful for the things you're working towards and for? Or do you want to live in this place of that's kind of just a downer, and,
right,
you know, on a daily basis? Nah.
Yep.
I always seem to find a way to go, okay, it's time to pull yourself up and kind of brush yourself off and laugh at yourself a little bit, you know, but also address yourself like, come on.
Right.
Be proud.
Right.
Of what you're doing. And, you know.
Yeah.
So it's... But that's part of this whole weird experience.
Right.
So I hear that voice that's connecting me to another place. And then I realize, wow, even in this whole experience, I'm never like alone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Because somebody's always coaching me in the ear, like, come on.
Well, I think it's important to point out, too, that you have to allow yourself to have pessimistic moments and days.
Absolutely.
Like, that's one thing that I've changed about myself a lot is that I used to let my pessimism be an everyday thing where it was like, that's just how I woke up.
Yes.
But now if I do realize I'm having a day where I'm just not into it because it happens, then I go, you know what? Today is just not going to be one of those days, but tomorrow will be.
Yeah.
And then I refuse the next day to be like I was the day before. That's the only way to do that. It really is to tell yourself, this is what I'm going
to
do.
I don't even necessarily commit to it for the day.
Yeah, I try.
As much as I might, meaning like if I woke up and I realized it's not going to be one of those glorious days.
Right.
I may not feel that way by the time I go to sleep.
Right. That's not really what I'm talking about. I mean, more like towards the middle of the day where I realize things are just not going my way and it's just not going to be a great day. Right. I don't do that first thing in the morning because I like to let the day play out and see what it's going to be.
Right.
And yes, a lot of things can be overcome. Uh-huh. You don't need to sit in them. Absolutely. But sometimes you just have those days where you just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
You, for whatever reason, it could just be you're just not feeling it that day. And it's okay to be that way. I think where the problem comes in is where we sit there.
Yeah.
We sit there. And there are times in all of our lives where those things are going to happen. I was not in the slightest bit positive after my mom died. I'm sure you weren't the slightest bit positive going through your divorce most of the time, nor was I. Because you just feel like these things are never going to end.
Oh, that was a terrible experience. Mm-hmm.
And how is it ever going to get better? That's something else I tell myself now is this is just today.
Right.
This is just the now. I look back at how much has changed in my life. That helps me a lot. Like when I'm getting going and my mind is like, this is never going to end. It's always going to be this way.
Right.
I look back on my life and I go, do you see how quickly things have changed and how much they've changed? Not just for the better, but sometimes for the worse too. It's a cycle. You have to be prepared for the cycle.
Right.
And then that has allowed me to, when the cycle is bad, be more positive than I would have before.
Yes.
I try not to sink as deep as I would have before because I tell myself, this will be over someday.
Yeah.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday it will be and you'll move on to the next phase of your life.
Yeah.
And it helps. It really does.
And being hindsight is such a wonderful tool that we have in our... It's a wonderful tool we have, but it also kind of stacks up against logic and reason sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't explain that part for me, like logic and reason. However, there are things in my life, things that have occurred, whatever, that I thought this will never work. This isn't good. I'll never get over this.
Right. Absolutely.
These kind of thoughts.
Yes. And
I would say a majority, not all the time, but a majority of the time I have been proven wrong.
Yes.
Like the positive still comes through more than the negative.
Right.
Like, I don't know what it is, where how in the second half of my life I got extremely lucky. Is where, like, the first half, when we were talking about this the other episode, I felt was harder.
Yeah, me too.
And I didn't have as much of this, what I would consider, you know, if you want to use luck loosely as
right,
a term.
Right.
This has come more in this second half.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I am pessimistic about certain things that will occur, it still occurs.
Right.
And then you feel dumb.
Right.
Right. And then your higher self has to talk to yourself.
Right.
And be like, see.
Right.
Wouldn't it have been much better just to go along with the parade.
Totally.
And then celebrate it instead of now you've got to sort of apologize. So the finish line and the end of the parade isn't a celebration for you.
Right.
You're making yourself feel alienated from the crowd because you were being pessimistic.
Right.
And now you have to apologize to your higher self or to whoever
right.
for being that way. And you're still handed a gift.
Yes.
Right? You feel a little bit of shame and
right.
silly, you know, kind of for it too. So
I understand not pre-celebrating, you know, before something happens, but you're going to bring something better to yourself if you're optimistic about it.
Yes.
And if you can't be optimistic about it, then be more of a realist about it. But it's that pessimist that I truly believe sucks the everything out of the possibility of things. It's like you said, once you do get that thing that you might have thought wasn't going to happen, then you kind of feel dumb for all that time being negative about it. Been there many times in my life. I totally
And sometimes
understand.
It's not even me, even with Marina, like, for example, going to school where she wanted, I was like, whoa, that's a tall order, you know, makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
But I'll be darned. It happened. You know what I mean? And I was like,
there's been so many of those moments.
That's what I mean. That's just a few.
Yeah.
You know, even when it came to like the Bronco, for the first time, I would see those ads and go, oh my God, babe, you're going to kill me, but I really love to have one.
Yeah, totally.
And I thought, never going to happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it happened.
It happened, yeah.
When you said, hey, I'd really like to, when Marina came to live with us full time, and you said, I really like to leave this area and move the town over. Which we both, you and I, had grown up in for a good portion of our lives. And I thought, really? I don't know if that's going to work. I mean, that's the income difference in that town is different than this town. And so rent is much higher.
Yeah. And then the driving for her to school.
And
there
driving
were a
to
lot
school,
of things.
I was
that, yeah.
very, very. Scared about
even just getting her a car. Like there was that thought of, you know, many times, like how when it comes time for her to drive, how are we going to afford a car for her?
Right.
You know, all those things. But somehow they just work out.
Right.
You know, but it's normal for us to worry about things. It's not saying don't worry.
No.
Just, it's balance.
It's teaching me I need to visit that hindsight area in my mind a little more and review some of those things to make sure that I'm correcting myself.
Yes.
And that I'm aware of what really is happening.
Hindsight is great.
Oh,
it really
is. I wish you could have it in the front, but.
Right, but you can't. Yeah.
But that's why it's there.
Yeah.
It's for you to understand.
Even being younger, for our younger listeners, I'm going to say this, and I hope you'll listen, is that as you age, you really start to understand life more, and you start to not take things so seriously because you realize that things aren't what you thought when you were younger. The things that you thought were the end of the world no longer matter to you because you've been through so much that you realize that there's a lot, you know. I used to worry about every ache and pain that happened in my body when I was little. Everything. You know, I'm like in my early 20s going, do I have cancer? I must have cancer. You know, oh God, if I had those times back, if I had all of the time that I worried about stupid things that never happened, I would be so happy. But you can't get that time back. You can't. So that's why I say now, just don't do it.
Right.
Just try your best not to, because it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go anyways. It just never does.
No.
Nope.
Not usually.
Nope. No. Okay, so let's see more of what our listeners had to say. So I asked, for our optimist, when you spend time with a pessimistic person, how does it make you feel? And the most picked answers were drained and annoyed.
Yeah.
The other ones were grateful, like I'd rather be alone, or like I want to help the negative person. That is one of my big problems, is I always want to try and help people. And right. So I'm like, hey, I'm positive and you're negative. Let me help you. And it doesn't work very well a lot of the time, because a lot of times people that are negative and pessimistic, they don't want to hear about it. You're annoying to them.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear it. I get it. Because I don't want to hear your negativity.
The beauty of it is the moments I do have to be optimistic with somebody, I'm hearing myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, whoa, you're listening to what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's some people I know that are super duper pessimistic.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it is a lot to be around those people for long periods of time, no matter how much you love them.
Yes. It was one of the reasons I moved here originally, because I needed to get away from my family, because they made life really difficult with all of their nonsense. And my grandma was a top one. So when I moved back there to take care of her, like, she was still with it. I don't care what anybody says. She may have had dementia, but she was still with it. And she still found ways to be negative Nancy all the time. And it was like, man, I just, you know, but I got to the point where I just realized, this is an 80-year-old woman, and, you know, she got older, and I'm not going to change her. I'm just not. She's been like this in her entire life, and it makes me sad to look back at that and know that she spent so much of her time worrying and being negative. Like, we were talking about this, that my grandmother always ate well. She exercised. She was always thin. She drank so much water, but her blood pressure was always high. Right. She had heart attacks. She had multiple strokes because of the stress that she put herself through by being negative all the time, being a pessimist. And that's actually was one thing on my list.
She worried. Like, so even her diet and all that was based off of, I don't want to get this. I don't want to get that. You know, oh my gosh.
Yes.
So I have to be as clean and healthy as possible, which is great.
Yeah.
But the worry is what, you know, and I believe this, and cancer in a lot has a lot more to do with psychological situation than we think it does. Not saying it doesn't have to do with physicality and chemicals and all those things that we're warned about, but I think it has a lot more to do with other stuff.
Absolutely, you know? It does. Yep. My grandma, like I said, she only ate good food. She didn't eat a lot of chocolate or anything. So when I started taking care of her, she did start eating stuff. I started giving her stuff. Oh, yeah.
Cookies she liked.
Oh, yeah. But a lot of things, she would eat it and go, I don't, or she would say, I don't drink that, because she had aphasia. So she meant, I don't eat that. But she would say, I don't drink that.
So rad. I loved it. Those kids.
She would be shoveling chocolate in her face going, oh, I don't drink that. And it's like, kitty, you're eating it right now. Like, you're literally eating
it
right
thinks,
now.
She thinks, in her mind, like, she is, you know, the kitty that helped raise you, that it ate white fish every night and broccoli and no starch and only water, all that stuff. It did not eat sweets. That's that's what's trippy about the mind.
Isn't it
is like,
weird?
She's thinking, this is who
me.
I was.
Uh-huh.
As she's shoveling it in her mouth, going, my God. And the videos that you share of, like, bringing the cookies to her, her eyes are just like, oh, she had like, what, three teeth?
Yes.
She could actually chomp these things with, but she did it.
Yes, she did. And the end of her life, I fed her what she wanted to eat because she didn't eat those things. When I first got to California, they told me she had tried In-N-Out. And I was like, wait, my grandma ate a burger? No, come on, you're lying.
She
and they
loved
swore,
it.
They swore. But that's how that in her head was, if I don't eat right, if I don't do this, I'm going to die young. I'm going to get sick.
Worry.
I'm going to, worry, worry. But it was the worry that was actually that made her sick. Like she could have lived a much happier life. And I always look at that and go, I learn a lot from that, from watching what she did, how miserable she was.
Yeah.
You know? And I get it because she went through war.
Yeah.
So there's things that, you know, I don't know. So I get it, but
yeah. Yeah, she faced a lot, that's for sure.
Okay, so then on the flip side, oh wait, there's a couple comments here first. This is about being an optimist in a pessimist world. Okay. Nancy said, a balance between drained and annoyed, but definitely more annoying. Yeah, it isn't, it's annoying. And then Diana said, all of it. That's why I have to keep my own energy protected and balanced. Then when I have interactions with others, I can filter their icks through me easier, and then it's not as long of a drain. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I do a lot of meditating. And like, there's times where we'll go out and I'll come home. It hasn't been in a while, but where I'll be like, I just got to sit, or I'll listen to music for a little while and just quiet and rebalance that energy.
Yeah.
Because it's like that energy out there in public a lot of times will drain you, just people's negativity around you.
It's a lot.
Yeah. The way they drive, the way they act. It's all a big, you can see it all works together. If you're more positive and you're, especially to the negative people, like if you got that grouchy cashier and then you talk to them and you try and bring them out of their shell more, then they become happier and then they pass that on to the next grouchy person. It's like this. Yep. You know,
and something, you know, is then like given to you for something, for some strange reason, just because you did that.
Yeah, absolutely. The universe. You know, like,
oh my
likes
God,
to...
we only got charged for that.
Totally.
We didn't get charged for that.
The universe helps you out. Weird. Yeah. Okay. And then I asked, if you're a pessimist, how do you feel when you're in the company of an optimistic, positive person? The top one was, it helps me be more positive.
That's cool.
So that helps me because I do feel a lot of times like these people just, they don't want to hear what I have to say. Like, especially in readings where like people are all upset and stuff. And I'm like, well, it's okay. You can work through it. And they're like, no. You know? The next one was, I love positive people. So that's good. But then, of course, there was the one that said, it's annoying.
However, in... as far as my beliefs are concerned, is like, if we are actually spirits that live in eternity and we go in and out of these lives to learn things and how to be, you know, really loving, optimism is sort of the saving grace of it, you know, because you could easily go, oh my gosh, I got to do this forever.
Yeah, it gets exhausting.
Right? Like, and I don't know what the next life's going to be like.
Yeah.
In the next life.
Right.
Because I'm not thinking at all about the time I spent or spend on the other side. I can only, for some reason, process the physical.
Right.
And like the now. But how many more times are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And optimism is sort of the soul's saving grace.
Right.
It's
is.
It's like when you know you feel like giving up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or things are just crappy to the maximum.
Yep.
There's this little voice in you or your higher self that's being optimistic.
Yep.
And telling you, just like you're telling the people that you have to deal with,
mm-hmm.
it's okay.
Yeah.
You can make it.
Keep going.
You're going to do it because you know what? The truth is, you don't really have a choice.
No, you don't. You're right. You really don't. What are you going to do?
It's bizarre. We think it's all free will and yada yada, but the truth is you're going to do this so many times.
Yeah. So to that, it's funny because like I mentioned, I know a few of the negative ones.
Right.
And one of them is Amy, and she just said, I don't know. I love Amy so much, but she's so honestly negative.
Yeah.
It's great. And then Patricia, she's another one. Love her. One of my regular clients. I love Patricia.
She's funny.
She's another one that she self-admit pessimist.
Yeah.
She says, depends on the situation and the person. I've been told a few times that people don't want to be around me because I'm too pessimistic, including a couple of my kids. When you have bipolar depression like I do, some days are easier to be positive and others I just don't care. And I totally get that because we all, you know, have our own things. And if you're battling some type of mental illness like depression or being bipolar, it's a lot harder to wake up every day and feel like, you know. But I will say that there are medications out there that can help you.
Absolutely. Because I don't think that that's fair to use that like as like I'm depressed, I'm sad that I have this illness.
Right.
As a reason or a license for me to go out there and just be mean and pessimistic to the world.
Yes.
I would rather try to help myself. And if medicine is part of that equation, okay, give it a shot. But again, you know, I guess it's like this is the only way to soothe ourselves.
Yes.
And so until we embrace, but I love people that are honest.
Me too.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm the most optimistic person in the world. No way.
Right.
I'm not the most pessimistic person in the world either.
Right.
But I got to be honest so I can know where I got to go.
Right.
Which way I need to lean. You know, like
absolutely.
This girl that you talked about with her boyfriend, he obviously now knows he needs to lean into the negative a little more.
But why, though?
In order to have this girlfriend. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, it's part of how I gauge myself. And I also have to embrace, there's this balance, like you said, of embracing this experience, but also not allowing myself to get carried away
right.
with any one particular thing.
Right. You know, I've been very honest about the fact that I take depression medication.
Yeah.
And if I miss one, I feel it. I do. It's not because of something that I'm doing or my life even. It's a chemical imbalance. And some people just have a chemical imbalance.
Sure.
Some people have been through so much trauma that their brain has been rewired. That happens.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I've been on and off depression medication since I was 11 years old. And I would love to someday get off of it. But every time I try, no matter what stage my life is in, I just cry.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just do. I've tried to get off of them slowly.
Yeah.
And I just can't.
Yeah.
I hope to try again one day. But my point being, if this just isn't working for you and you're trying to be optimistic and you right. just cry, or like Patricia's saying with the bipolarism, get yourself some medication. Give it a
yeah.
try.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest here too. For me, marijuana, cannabis was always kind of a godsend in that area.
Yes.
It allowed me to do a few things. Besides get the munchies.
Yeah.
<I'm kidding>.
and forget everything.
It allowed me to sort of let go of things for a moment at yeah. least. And like, oh, I don't worry as much about that for the moment.
Yes, absolutely.
And laugh.
Yeah.
Laugh at myself. Laugh at the world. Laugh at whatever.
Yep.
Laugh.
Yes.
That is so important, laughing.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, where I've gone to therapy and had doctors, they want to prescribe you Wellbutrin because don't you know that marijuana releases serotonin, blah, 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 and then essentially you end up depressed. It's a depressant. Okay, maybe clinically, whatever, you know what you're talking
right.
about. But I've been doing this a
right.
long time,
yeah.
okay? And I know I would much rather be doing an opioid or some sort of pill that I really don't know what's in it or how it's manufactured.
Yeah.
If I could have something as simple, as natural as this that can help me.
Right.
Now, there are people that won't work for.
Right.
And it has the opposite effect on them.
Yes.
So I understand that. But for me, it works.
Yeah.
But I think that trying something.
Yes.
To help your situation, if you feel like it's that dire or you need a little assistance,
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Actually, I would recommend Wellbutrin to most people.
Yes.
That's the one that I take. The reason being because it doesn't mess with your serotonin. And actually,
that's not an opioid, though, is it?
It's not an opioid.
Right.
No, thank God. Well, opioids are like pain medications.
Yes.
So that's what happened. That's how I got hooked on the opioids, is because they do increase serotonin. So every time that I would take one, not only would I have more energy, but I would feel more positive. And after my mom died, nothing else would make me positive. So for a little while after taking that pill, when you have that high,
right.
it was like, I can do this. I can get through this. I'm okay. There's positivity. I'm happy. It's good.
Uh-huh.
And then you start to come down from it. And that's when most people will go jump on another one.
Right.
I was very lucky that I didn't do that. I wasn't like a constant, you know, I'm starting to come down. It was just sometimes that I felt that need for that boost,
right?
Right? So it gets very scary on the opioids. So
oh,
if
yeah.
that is something that you take, do, you know, take that into consideration, you can also overdose on serotonin. Uh-huh. So that's another thing, is that with Wellbutrin, and it doesn't mess with that, I just have found it to be more natural. Like, it's obviously not natural, but it makes me feel more normal than one that does have the serotonin enhancers in it. But right. I'm me, so, you know, not everybody's going to be like that. But that's right. just my recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else that helps, too, as much as some people might not want to hear it, is gratitude.
Absolutely.
Being grateful. Like, there's a lot of times where I will be like, it's not going my way, and, yes. you know, and then I'll see somebody who really doesn't have it going their way. And slaps me back into reality and goes, see, you should be so grateful for everything that you have. And I am. I'm very, very grateful. Right. But it really does make me more optimistic yeah. to look and see that there are people that are struggling more. I mean, I don't want them to, but you know what I mean. Yeah. It's like what I have, I'm very lucky. I can't help but think of
that could be my experience this time.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It's not. Yeah, exactly.
So why we're so quick to look, turn our head and then look at this situation over here that reeks of money and mansions and
yeah.
and we go, why isn't that my, you know, but right. you again, you're not thinking that from an educated spot.
No. No. Uh-uh.
You're being sensationalized.
Yeah. I've been doing lives a lot on uh-huh. Facebook, and I did one the other day, and one of the girls that was there, her question to me was, why did she choose a life of pain? Because she has had chronic pain issues throughout uh-huh. her life. And, you know, that is a tough question to answer, because looking at it spiritually, you did choose this life.
Yeah.
Why? Well, there could be a lot of reasons. Yeah. We are supposed to experience absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But I really do feel like we're supposed to overcome those things in our life, too.
Yeah, as much as possible, sure.
And the anxiety and the stress and the pessimism will make you physically ill. It will make me physically ill if I'm too negative. And that brings pain to certain areas. As an energy healer, I can feel where people are keeping their energy. And a lot of times people that have really bad emotional issues, they're holding it in other places, in right. their stomach, right. in their back, in their shoulders. That's where I hold it a lot of times, is in my shoulders.
Yeah.
And
back is my situation.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, obviously there are physical things, but just healing the energy there, healing the energy within yourself helps you to feel better. You know, it's yeah. just the way that it works. And we've talked several times on the show about how your negativity and anger and stuff like that can bring on certain illnesses,
yes,
like cancer.
Yep.
So, all reasons why we need to work on these things.
Yeah, I mean, at 50 something years old, you know, yeah. that's where I want to be. Like, I want to kind of like be chill.
Yeah,
you know, we both recently had to go find new practitioners,
yeah,
doctors, because we've moved, and so I go in and get the whole nine yards. You know, let's weigh you and talk yeah. about your history, and let's take your blood pressure. And so she took my blood pressure, and she was like, perfect.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, I've never had – both my parents are on high blood pressure medication, and I've never so far have had to face that. And she's like, wow, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about that. And you and I were just talking about yeah. that the other night, just mm-hmm. about where we're at in our life and how much gratitude that brought on for me at that moment, having that conversation. Of like, it could be so different.
Yes.
And yet, even amidst my own negativity and pessimistic attitude sometimes, the universe is still handing me miracle after miracle.
Absolutely.
And I can't deny that with hindsight.
Yeah.
I can't deny that. So if I can hold on to optimism and hindsight as my saving grace through those bumpy rides, that's kind of what that's there for, I think.
Yeah.
Is when you hit those valleys and things are low and mm-hmm. kind of energy's not great.
Yep.
You use those tools.
Exactly.
And then that gets you through until the next peak when you can see above everything again.
Yep.
And you get a better general view of what's really going on, you know.
No, you're right.
But it's all the experience too.
It is a big part of the experience. And I really tell myself that more the older that I get, when I'm in those moments of like, oh, this really sucks and it's never going to get better or whatever. You know, I do. I go back to that of like, it's just the now. This is just right now. And you know that the hard times are going to be there. Like, I get so many people that come to me for readings and they will say things to me like, when are the hard times going to end? When you're dead. Yep. No offense.
Never.
But that's the truth. It's never.
Never. Because once you go to the other side, I don't, like we've said many, many times on the show, we don't believe in hell. So it's not like there's anything remotely torturous about going to the other side.
No.
But you have to do a life review.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at all the things you've done, which are going to make you feel. It's going to make you look at yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to do this every single time.
Yep. Yep. I'll tell you what. I feel like doing that in life, because I've done a lot of that in life where I have looked at myself and I because I know that the life review is a thing.
Yeah.
And I know how hard it is to watch, especially if you haven't accepted the things that you've done.
Yeah.
That I have really accepted the things that I've done, most of them.
Yeah.
And have tried to change from them,
that,
because
yes.
that will make it easier to watch your life review.
Yes, yes.
If you're sitting there going like, I didn't do that.
No, if like what you're watching just gets progressively worse
and
never corrects or changes, you're not going to walk out of that review feeling good about yourself.
Right.
But the whole purpose is not to shame yourself. It's to make you see what you've learned and what you haven't.
Yep.
And so by living this life, realizing I'm going to have to do this, it makes me want to do better things.
Me
I don't
too.
Want to rape and pillage and burn and rob and hijack. I'm not into that.
Yep.
Murder, I'm not into it, right? But I still have to look at the smaller things that I do.
Right.
Because words are as strong as bullets sometimes.
They are, yeah.
So I'm going to face all those moments. That I was like, wow, was that really necessary?
Right.
No.
Right. And it sucks. But you can't go back and change them. All you can do is make the future different and not
or
repeat.
Acknowledge them also, too, when they occur and be like, I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
You're right. Yeah. I was out of line.
Absolutely. I think even like situations, if you've done something and years later you realize, ooh, I was really wrong about that. Maybe I should say I'm sorry. That you should, because that's what's very healing, not just to you, but to the other person too. So, you know, and a lot of times we hold on to things that like other people don't even remember. And and so like saying you're sorry, a lot of times you might be met with, what?
Instead of some big embarrassing thing.
Right, exactly. Right. So it's all in the healing. It's all in the growth of life. And it's what we're supposed to be doing here. We're not supposed to just keep doing the same thing we've always done day after day after day, whatever that might be, because we're not growing then.
Right.
And the whole purpose of being here is to grow. So to do that, you have to work on it, because it's not just going to come and do the work.
That's part of the whole challenge with this. It's like, okay, so we come from, you know, this other dimension and this place where it's positive and it's love. It's like, it's safe, man.
Right.
It is safe.
Right.
And it's love. And okay, now let us put ourselves in the most unsafe, you know, negative situation we possibly can and see how much we can learn and remember.
Right.
What the truth is.
One of the things, this was just pointed out to me, one of the things that I really had to work on while I was changing, while I was going through a lot of this, you know, purging of the pessimistic me and all the other stuff, was realizing that sometimes people aren't going to understand and they're not going to accept it, because sometimes we feel like, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to make this change because people are going to think it's phony. They're going to think that this isn't really me.
Right.
I've gone through so much change and I did at first think that of like, what's even the point? Because nobody's really going to believe that this is who I am anyways.
Right.
But the thing is after you work on yourself and you start making those changes, that really becomes who you are. Mm-hmm. And then people will see you differently. Some people won't. Some people will always look at me as Samantha from 2010. And that's fine because you don't know me anymore. That's fine. But I can tell you that I've done so much growth and so much work on myself that I am not that person anymore. And there were parts of me that were like, why change when that's everybody's perception of you?
Right. Well,
because I don't want to sit in that anymore. Because I don't want to be that person anymore.
Yeah.
Because I want to grow and change like I'm supposed to. But it is hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, we said this too before. It's like, whatever they want to think, whoever they is, it's none of your business.
Right.
But it is something that you can allow to occupy space in your mind.
Yes.
And that doesn't do you any good or favors. It doesn't do any of us any good or any favors. But at the same time, you know, we're obsessed with this perfection.
Oh, perfection. Right? Yeah.
So, like, I have the nicest teeth and, like, the longest, prettiest hair.
No.
Perfect body, great job, perfect house.
I got none of that.
Yeah.
But I'm happy.
I would rather get up here in front of the microphone and tell you I'm not the most optimistic person in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm not the most negative.
Right.
I am learning.
Yeah.
I'm still learning. And I'll be learning this until I die and into the next life and the next life. This is my journey.
Right. You'll always be faced with
I'm just sharing my journey in hopes that maybe other people won't be so scared to share theirs.
Yes, absolutely.
Not necessarily on a microphone with other thousands of people or whoever, but just with somebody.
Yeah.
Share an experience that might help your fellow man.
Yeah, I agree.
And pull them out of a situation that they could use a little help and optimism with.
Right.
That's really all it is. Is learning and sharing. Learning and sharing.
Yep.
The plastics, the woods, the metals, the clouds, all this is that's not here when you're gone.
Yeah.
It's the learning and the sharing and the learning and the sharing.
Yep.
Those are the only two things that stay.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's all within our conscience.
Yeah. You're
not our body.
No.
Not our brain. Yep. That stays. Yeah. So all this learning and sharing and learning and sharing is really, it doesn't matter what meat suit you jump into next time.
Yeah.
It's going to be learning and sharing.
Yeah, and growing. And absolutely.
Growing, but I mean, this is continual.
Yeah, it is always.
So embracing that and going, wow, can be a little daunting. Or just taking it with each, you know, and again, I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
It's like taking each experience or lesson at that moment.
Yeah, this is what you have to do. You know, it really is. It's I tell my clients baby steps, little things, but also seeing what is right there in front of you. It's become harder for me to drive at night.
Uh-huh.
And last night we went out and I was driving at night and I find myself worrying about what is way up there.
Right.
What's way up there? I'm like, focus on what's right here. Like, don't worry about what's all the way over there. Like, what is that going to do for you?
Yeah.
It goes like that with everything, is that just dealing with what you have right in front of you, because then, like, I was doing this last night and I was realizing when I got to the place that I was worried about that it's okay. I was able to find it or whatever, right. You know, like street signs are hard for me to read. So I just ask you, can you tell me the street signs, you know, but like things like that, sure. I'm thinking so far ahead and I'm worrying myself and it's like, you got there.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, it's not about being fine either. It's just about how difficult it's going to be in my own mind.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not worried that I'm going to like crash or something. I just think ahead of time of these things. And I realized last night, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just think of where you are right now. And, you know, if you pass a street or whatever, you can turn around. It's okay. It's not a big deal. You know, it really is just going with what is right there in front of you at that time and trying not to think too far ahead.
Yep. Very smart.
Yes, sir.
Advice.
Well then.
Cool.
Yay.
I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, before we say goodbye, would you like to share your information one more time?
Yes. So SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com. Everything is there for you.
Very
and good. Then my Etsy is BeyondTheBridge11. And then you, sir.
Yes, and your show. Don't forget the show.
Yes, Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Bold Brave TV, you can find me.
The links will be there on Facebook, too.
They will. I make sure they're up for you.
Cool.
Yep.
Yes, for my art, djonesartcollection.com. For the web, at djonesartcollection for Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And for my Etsy photography, djonesphotography71. And Instagram photography, djones71photography.
Yay.
All right, that's it. We hope that everybody got something out of this today.
Yeah, we do.
And that maybe we could help you.
Yeah.
And not only trying to go out there and be a little bit more optimistic, but not beat yourself up when you are experiencing pessimistic moments.
Yes, absolutely.
Just don't allow yourself to stay there too long.
Yep. And spread the optimism when you have it.
Yes. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing too.
Yes.
And we hope everybody has a great week.
That we do.
And until next week,
peace and love.